श्रीमद्भागवतम 1:8:45 तांबाधम इत्युपामंत्र्य प्रविश्य गजसाहव्ययम् स्त्रियाश्च स्वपुरं यास्यं प्रेम्णा राज्ञान् निवारितः। प्रेयर्स ऑफ क्वीन कुंती चैप्टर दैट इज गॉट ओवर, दैट सेक्शन इज गॉट ओवर नाउ। And as Krishna is about to depart, Tambadham. Thus, Krishna smiled at Kunti Maharani and accepted her prayers. And then, Itya Upamantriya, he informed Kunti and other elder ladies about his departure. Pravishya Gajasahavyayam. Pravishya. He entered the palace to inform all of them. स्त्रियश्च स्वपुत्रं यास्यन् प्रेम्णा राज्ञा निवारितः स्त्रियश्च स्वपुरं यस्यास्यन्। When he was just after informing all of them he was about to depart, at that time प्रेम्णा with love राज्ञा निवारितः, the king with love with affection requested him to stay on, do not go, and Krishna agreed. So why did Krishna agree? Actually, Yudhishthira was in a very distressed predicament, and seeing that distress, seeing that Yudhishthira was overwhelmed with grief, he agreed to stay. Krishna agreed to stay. What was his predicament? That will be described now. Yasadhyair Ishvareha Gyai Krishnenadbhuta Karmana Prabodhito अपितिहासैर नाबुद्ध्यत् शुचार्पितः। व्यासादिभिर् ईश्वरे हाज्ञै, व्यासादिभिर्, व्यास एंड अदर्स, इवन द ईश्वर, इवन द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड हिमसेल्फ, दे ऑल, कृष्णेनाद्भुत कर्मणा, कृष्णा हु इज द परफॉर्मर ऑफ ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ एक्स्ट्रॉर्डिनरी एक्टिविटीज, even he couldn't persuade, even he couldn't convince Maharaj Yudhishthira. Prabodhito apitihasair, prabodhito, he was solaced by that, itihasair, they did not just give some sweet word, they actually quoted from the historical incidences from the scriptures, from the past, to substantiate their points. Na buddhyat shucharpitaha, na buddhyat, He was not satisfied. So what is going on here? This is like a different theme that is being explored, and the scene is being set for the exploration of that theme here. So the point that is made is that he was not satisfied, he was not pacified. So what was, he was in great distress. What was his distress? Let's look at that now. 47 text. आह आह राजा धर्मसूतश चिंतयन सुरदाम वधम प्राकृतेनात्मना विप्रह स्नेह मोहवशं गतः। दिस इज टेक्स्ट 47। आह राजा धर्मसूतश, ही स्पोक, ही वाज़ द सन ऑफ धर्म, इज एक्चुअली अ वेरी वर्चुअस एंड ग्लोरियस किंग, सन ऑफ धर्म, धर्मसूतश चिंतयन सुरदम वधम, चिंतयन, व्हाट वाज ही थिंकिंग, व्हाई हैड ही गॉट सो डिस्ट्रेस्ड, बिकॉज ही वाज थिंकिंग सुरदम वधम, एक्चुअली आई हैव किल्ड माय रिलेटिव्स, आई एम रिस्पॉन्सिबल फॉर देयर डेथ्स। प्राकृतेन आत्मना विप्रह, प्राकृतेन, इट अपीयर्ड एज इफ बाय मटेरियल कंसेप्शन, आत्मना विप्रह, सूत गोस्वामी स्पीकिंग टू असेंबल सेजेस, स्नेह मोहवशं गतः, बिकॉज ऑफ अफेक्शन, बिकॉज ऑफ अटैचमेंट, मोहवशं गतः, ही हैड गॉन इनटू ग्रेट इल्यूजन, ही हैड गॉन इनटू, सो इट अपीयर्ड दैट इन हिज डिस्ट्रेस, इन द डिस्ट्रेस व्हिच वाज ही वाज अंडरगोइंग, ही फेल्ट वेरी ग्रेटली overwhelmed, and feeling overwhelmed thus, he could not do anything constructive. He felt he was acting just like a common person who might be overwhelmed by grief. Similarly, Yudhishthira Maharaj is also overcome by grief. What did he speak? Aho me pashyata pashyata jnanam hridirudham duratmanah parakyasyaiva dehasya bhavyo me akshahunirhatah. Aho me pashyata, just see my ignorance, ajnanam hridirudham duratmanah. You see the ignorance that is situated in my heart, how misdirected I am. That parakyasyaiva dehasya, that this body which does not belong even to me, this body which is actually someone else's property, bhavyo me akshaho nirhataha, for protecting this body I have caused the death of many divisions of soldiers, akshaho nirhataha. So here what is Parikshit Maharaj, what is Yudhishthira Maharaj saying? That there are many important words here. One relevant word for us is the point that he is saying, O Lord, even this body does not belong to me. Parakyasyaiva. Normally, if something doesn't belong to us, somebody else has given it to us, we may take care of it, but we will not be excessively worried about it. If some acquaintance comes and tells us, okay, I have got this car, can I park it in your courtyard? We say, okay. But it's not that we are going to, if say, there is a big fire coming up, and that fire is going to either destroy the car or it will destroy our house. Now, we would like to protect both, but if we can't protect both, we won't risk our own house, or we won't risk our own life, to save that car, we won't risk our own life for that matter. You know, if the fire is so big and if the car has caught fire, we won't risk our own life to save that car. After all, it's not our car. Parakyasyaiva. Yes, we can be selfless, but being selfless doesn't mean being brainless. So, if something doesn't belong to us, we won't go to extreme limits to try to protect it. And this body is saying parakyasyaiva. This body itself does not belong to me. Normally we think that I am the body, what to speak of body belonging to me. But Prahlad is clarifying here that, Yudhishthira Maharaj conveying the deep philosophical truth that even the body does not belong to us. The body actually belongs to others. Whom does it belong to? There is a whole analysis in later section of the Bhagavatam, wherein it is stated that, okay, the body will go ultimately to fire, so maybe it will be burned to ashes, so it belongs to fire, right? Maybe it will go to the earth and be reduced to ashes, does it belong to the earth and the ashes? Or even when it is there, if the person is a slave, then the body belongs to the master. So actually, whom does the body belong to? Essentially, we think that I am the body, but far from we being the body, we are not the body, and the body is also not ours. The body is different from us, and we use the body while we are in this material existence, but the body is different from us. To the extent we recognize that, to the extent at the very least, we don't do sinful activities for the sake of gratifying the body, for the sake of satisfying the body. We recognize that, okay, all this is good, but I don't have to be crazy about taking care of the body. Let me just focus on doing what I can for keeping the body functional and for using it positively for my higher purposes. But here, Yudhishthira Maharaj is thinking that, oh, for the sake of maintaining this body. Now, their idea is that they are Kshatriyas, and Kshatriyas are meant to be rulers. So, how can they do their duty of protecting their citizens as martial guardians of society if they don't have a kingdom? So he's not thinking here out of his humility at one level, out of his out of the illusion that has come out upon him because of ultimately Krishna's plan. He's thinking that I fought this war simply so that I could have gratification for my body. So for this body, just see my ignorance that I thought this body is mine, and therefore for the sake of this body I fought a war in which so many Akshahuni soldiers were killed. Sometimes we may, under the spell of illusion, give up something very important for something very trivial. So for example, if somebody is giving an exam and it's an important exam, the student knows the answers also. The student gets the answer, then there's a big breakthrough in life. And maybe get admission in a very important college or go abroad or for a further development of career or whatever. And during this time, suddenly that person desires or decides that I can't do this. Like the person suddenly gets a temptation, oh, maybe there's an ice cream shop just outside the exam room. And I know at this time there's going to be a new, particular new brand of ice cream that's going to come. And a person just leaves the exam to go and eat the ice cream. And you say, this is ridiculous. You can eat the ice cream anytime later. And you first give the exam right now. So the point is that to give up something important and urgent for something which can be done later, it is absurd. But yet, when we come under illusion, the opportunity for spiritual growth is something which we get after many, many lifetimes when we have human form and when we have spiritual association. And if you give that up for petty bodily pleasures, then that is a colossal miscalculation, a tragic miscalculation. And he says, such a calculation, such a miscalculation indicates ignorance, it indicates illusion. And Parikshit Maharaj and Yudhishthira Maharaj in a similar mood is saying over here, Aho me pashyata jnanam, just see my ignorance. That for the sake of maintaining this body, I have caused the death of so many Akshahuni soldiers. So I, for something so trivial, I paid so big a cost. And further, he is now going to map the cost in more specific terms. So my Akshahuni might seem vague, but in 49th text, next text he says, Baladvija Suhuran Mitra Mitra Bhratur Guru Druha Namisyan Nirayan Moksho Ya Api Varsha Yuta Yutai. So who all have been killed because of my foolishness? He explains, Bala, children. Now from the perspective of Yudhishthira Maharaj, Abhimanyu was basically a child. Even Duryodhana's son, Lakshmana, was like a child. So Bala, Dvija. One of the most low points of the epic is the brutal killing of Drona by Dhrishtadyumna. So Brahmanas were killed, Suhrun, those who are well-wishers, people like Shalya, they were tricked into fighting on the opposite side of the Pandavas. They were well-wishers, Suhrun Mitra, they were his friends. So for example, Kritavarman was a friend of the Pandavas, especially a friend of Arjuna. Pitra, Bhratra, Guru, Druha. Bhratra is like brothers. Now of course at this particular point he has come to know that Karana is his brother, so that has also caused him distress. And of course the Kauravas were cousins, and some of them like Vikarna was relatively virtuous. Pitra, the whole generation of elders, father, parents, parental generation and the grandparental generation, this whole thing. Guru, of course, Krupa and Drona were both his teachers. Druha, so all these people to whom we are affectionate, who are meant to be, whom we are meant to serve and take care of, Druha, I killed them. Namesyan Nirayan Moksho. Therefore, from Moksha, from Nirayan, Niray is hell. So from hell I will not get liberation, even if I perform atonement even if I go to hell and even if I suffer for hell, Varsha Yuta Ayutai. Ayuta means millions, so Ayutai. Again, multiplying millions again and again. Repeatedly for millions of lifetimes, millions of years, Varsha. If I go to hell still, the kind of sinful reaction I have accrued, that will not get exhausted. Here, of course, we know that Yudhishthira Maharaj fought in the cause of Dharma, fought for the cause of Dharma, and he will not go to hell. The fact that he goes to hell momentarily at the end of the Mahabharata, it is simply to illustrate this point that actually no one can live a life that is fully, spotlessly pure, and he certainly doesn't have to go for as long as he's talking about. But at this particular point of time, grief has distorted his perception. And it is not Yudhishthira speaking, in one sense it is grief that has taken control of him that is speaking over here. Naino ragyah praja bhratur praja bhartur dharma yuddhe vadhodvisham iti menatu bodhaya kalpate shashanam vachaham. Now in one sense, Yudhishthira is not an ignorant fool. He knows the reasoning which was used to fight the war. And he knows that, say, if for a king who fights in Dharma Yuddha, Kshatriya is a martial guard in a society. And though when there are aggressors who disrupt the social order, at that time a Kshatriya is duty bound to fight. So Yudhishthira states here that actually I am aware of these things, but natu bodhaya, these things don't apply to me, they don't satisfy me, they don't illumine me, because they are not relevant over here. Kalpate shashanam vachaha, that there are words which speak that dharma yuddhe vadho dvisham, that for the sake dharma yuddhe vadho dvisham, that in a righteous war, in a war for the sake of establishing dharma, vadho dvisham, killing of enemies, killing of the envious in the cause of dharmic yuddha, the a king is allowed to do that. But naino rajya praja bhartur, sorry, that if a king, in order to protect his citizens, has to fight a dharma yuddha against miscreants, that is fine. But this, now that is the truth actually, but Yudhishthira is saying that doesn't apply to me. He thinks, thinking that actually there was no need for me to have fought the war. Now at one level it is said that under Duryodhana the kingdom was also being managed reasonably well. Prabhupada also says that Duryodhana was doing a fairly good job of managing the kingdom. Now, yes, Duryodhana knew that while he had a fairly long time, he had 13 years of time as the ruler, but he knew 13 years would get over and his hold on the kingdom was not very solid, and that's why he didn't want to do anything exploitative during this period. So he tried to curry favor with all the opinion leaders in his kingdom, and he tried to give gifts and flatter people and try to win them over, not by his sincere dedication to their welfare, but by his desire to have to be able to perpetuate his hold on the throne. But rather than considering any malicious or self-serving motives on the part of Duryodhana, Yudhishthira Maharaj is giving him the is simply looking at his actions and think that, oh, Duryodhana was managing the kingdom quite well. So it is not that I had to fight this war to protect the citizens. Actually speaking, yes, Duryodhana was managing the kingdom well during his reign. But he was by nature envious, malicious, vicious, and once he would have got unchallenged right to the throne, then his true colors would have come out and he would have started exploiting the citizens. But based on his track record till now, at least during the time when he was ruling over the kingdom, Yudhishthira Maharaj is feeling that, oh, it is not that Duryodhana was doing a terrible job. So he is saying that my Dharma Yuddha, that this particular battle that was fought, that cannot be called as a Dharma Yuddha. So this injunction does not apply to me. 1851 Strinam Madhat Bandhunam Droho Yosa Yothitaha Karma Bhirgraha Medhiyai Naham Kalpo Vyapohitum Strinam Madhat Bandhunam. Of the movement whose relatives, whose bandhus, whose protectors, be they husbands or brothers or children or other relatives, whatever, fathers or whatever, and I have killed them, and droho yo asa ihotitaha uttita iha, here such droha, such enmity, such animosity, such anger has arisen because of this. Karma bhir graha medhiyair, that graha medhiyair, if the word graha medhi usually has a negative connotation as it is used in the Bhagavatam, but graha medhi basically does not have to always have a negative connotation. Here it refers to the idea that Grahamedis have a material conception of life, material conception of graha. They think in terms of improving things materially and enjoying things materially. So here, rather than the negative connotation, here the point is the material conception and karma. Karma means work, fruitive work. Karma often means good work, pious work. Karma bhir grahamedhiyair naham kalpo vyapohitum. And even if I expertly do a lot of punya, lot of pious work for ameliorating the harmful effects of this fratricidal war, still that work cannot be mitigated. So the point is, Sri Yudhishthira Maharaj is anticipating and countering various counters to his lamentation. He says, some people may say that it is a Dharma Yuddha. No, it is not a Dharma Yuddha. Okay, even if you feel you have done some papa, you can actually do welfare work, and in a practical sense try to counter whatever harm has happened. But he says, no, the harm that has happened is so colossal that it cannot be countered. Then takes 52 states. Yatha pankena pankambha surayava surakritam bhutahatyam tathai vaikam na yagyair marshtum arhati. Yatha pankena pankambha, just as you cannot, if water is muddy and if you use mud, we cannot clean the mud. Or surayava surakritam, as we cannot, if a pot is got the smell of wine, you know, and I will put some further wine into it, that smell won't go away. Bhuta hatyant thai vaikam. So similarly, they said these two endeavors are futile. So by the same token, thai vaikam. So bhuta hatyam, I have killed so many living beings, and that na yagyair marsh to marhati. It's not possible that by doing yajna, by prescribed sacrifices, marsh to, the counteracting of that cannot be done. So if somebody argues that, okay, you are not just concerned about providing relief for those who have been distressed,
But even if you feel that you have to get rid of the karmic reactions, you can do punya karma. You can actually do yajna karma. And by doing fire sacrifices, you can counter whatever sinful reaction might be there. So he says, no, such fire sacrifices will not lead to the countering of those reactions. I know he used two examples that mud cannot clean mud water, and wine cannot remove the smell of wine in a pot. Wine cannot clean a wine stained pot. In this way, one cannot actually become free. The point here is, we have in today's context, Einstein said that problems created at one level of consciousness cannot be solved at that level of consciousness. Something similar is being said over here, that actually we need something higher to be able to deal with this problem of our current entanglement in material existence. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is right ultimately that karma, the bad effects of bad karma cannot be countered by doing good karma. We need something higher for that. We need bhakti which will liberate us from the karmic entanglement. And that practice of bhakti is something which is going to be the solution that Bhishma Pitama will offer in the next chapter. But at this stage, Yudhishthira Maharaj, the point that he is making is philosophically correct, but it is not contextually relevant. Because in his context, he has not done papa, and he is actually being enjoined not just to do punya when he is told to become a king and do yajna. He is being asked to do. He has not done papa, and he is not going to not be asked to do punya, but he is being asked to do bhakti by doing the will of the Lord and taking up the kingdom and the mood of service to the Lord. So after Kunti's prayers get over, the Bhagavatam in a very quick narrative shift moves to the next topic. So Kunti Maharani is offering exalted devotional prayers, and after those prayers actually end in 43. Krishna's response to that is those prayers in 44 and to end one line of 45 also. But then from 45 to 52, the frame shifts quickly, and now Yudhishthira Maharaj's grief is strongly being expressed over here. And the counter of this grief, or how the wisdom that will enable him to overcome this grief, that will be described in the next chapter. So in this chapter, the Bhagavatam focuses on three themes: how Parikshit is attacked by Ashwatthama and saved by Krishna, how Kunti offers prayers which culminate in surrendered pure devotion, and Yudhishthira Maharaj's grief. So the protection of Parikshit goes on till verse 16, Kunti's prayers 17 to 44, and 45 to 52 is Yudhishthira Maharaj's lamentation. How Yudhishthira Maharaj's lamentation will be removed, that we will discuss in the next chapter in future classes. Thank you.